Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. Football Friday edition, LSU, Mississippi State, tomorrow Saturday from Davis-Wade Stadium in Starkville. Tigers, a 17.5 point favorite, and we're getting you ready for it. Ed Ogeron met with the media one final time. We'll update you on a few key personnel issues. Matt Wyatt, former Mississippi State quarterback, will join us to preview the ball game. You'll hear from Ryan Clark. I'll give you my pick as well on the ball game. First, though, Ed Ogeron heading into this Mississippi State game, talking about the health of his team.
Feel good. We feel good that we're healthy. We had a couple of nicks and bumps this week, but I think everybody's going to be ready to play. Terrace Marshall practiced today. I do not believe he's going to play, but looking forward to see what he can do next week. It gives us a rotation, especially midway during the season. We're going to need somebody to step up. Obviously, during the football game, things happen. Guys need to step up.
So no Terrace Marshall, but we knew that. I'll be interested to see what wide receiver might step up and have some opportunity to make plays. Thought a week ago that might be Derek Dillon. He did not have a catch. Only four players caught a pass a week ago. So it'll be interesting to see this week a lesser secondary, a team that has really struggled defensively, if more LSU skill guys offensively get involved in the ball game. One thing we know is that Sadiq Charles will not start at left tackle. Instead, it'll be the freshman, Dare Rosenthal.
Yes, Dare will start. Sadiq is available. I don't know if he's going to play.
So by this point, I think we all understand what's going on. Sadiq Charles has to serve a punishment, and they're picking and choosing when they withhold him. My guess is that he's dressed and available in the event that they need him, if there's an injury or some situation, but if they can withhold him from this game and it counts as another one that he doesn't play toward whatever his total number of games that he's being withheld from. Let's just say, guy's been suspended. We don't know how many games he's suspended. This will be the third one he sits. Is it four? Is it six? I don't know. But ultimately, they're picking and choosing their spots, which I would much rather than not playing your starting left tackle against Texas or Florida and cutting off your nose to spite your face. So you're going to win this game regardless of who your left tackle is. It's going to be Dare Rosenthal. And here's Ed Ogeron talking about the job Rosenthal's done so far this year.
He made progress. You know, Coach Robinson, who observes everything, John Robinson, came up to me yesterday and feels like Dare has a chance to be a really good football player. And he was in the office today making some adjustment on his pass set. He's always willing to work. We knew in recruiting that we always thought that Dare would be a tremendous left tackle. We like that he played defense in high school. He's very athletic. He's tough and he's smart.
Okay, so that's the offensive side. What about defensively? Here's Ed Ogeron talking about the defensive line rotation with Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan back.
You know, we consider all of them starters. We consider, obviously, Glenn and Neil is going to share time. I believe they're both starters, and so is Rashard and Braden. I don't think anyone's better than the other. I think all of them deserve to play at equal time. Now, obviously, one has to start, one doesn't. That's going to be a game-type decision.
Having a rotation on the defensive line is obviously a major thing, so you can keep guys fresh. But we've talked about, you know, Neil Farrell being the guy who took advantage the most of the opportunity presented whenever Lawrence and Logan were injured. And when you look at LSU's leading tacklers right now, Jacob Phillips is the leading tackler with 44. He's pacing toward a 100-tackle season. Jacoby Stevens is next with 30, followed by Patrick Queen at 28, Grant Delpit at 27, and then there's Neil Farrell. Neil Farrell is your leading tackler among defensive linemen with 26 tackles. And then there's Damone Clark, Caleb Von Chasson. You got to get down to Tyler Shelvin at 19 as your next leading tackler from the defensive line. So it's been a really good start to the season for Neil Farrell. He's made the most of that opportunity to get playing time. I expect we'll see plenty of a rotation among that defensive line. Also, Ed Ogeron talked about the secondary and the depth there with some of the injuries that they've had.
Well, you know, I think that our guys have done a good job. Cordell Flott is a good player. Jay Ward's starting to play a lot. You know, Derek's an outstanding football player, so we feel good about that. Kerry Vincent has done a tremendous job for us. He's kind of a utility player. He can play anywhere. So I feel like we're in good shape. Mo Hampton may play a little bit more this game. He's a guy that Coach Bush and I believe in. He showed that he's making progress, so you may see him play a little bit of safety this game.
Now, the one other thing of note is that LSU is headed to Starkville, Davis-Wade Stadium, cowbells galore. And the last time LSU went there, they got skunked in 2017, 37-7. So Ed Ogeron was asked how he simulated Davis-Wade Stadium this week.
Yeah, we heard who let the dogs out a bunch, I promise you that. I mean, a guy that kind of liked it, a nice little beat, you know, Journey, a little Journey music and all that stuff. But we had the buggies out the first day, and then obviously we were in here yesterday because of the weather. It's a lot louder in here, so we think that we simulated as best as we can.
Well, I'd like to congratulate the Baja men on the resurgence of their hit from 1991. Their band formed in 1991. Baja men, Who Let the Dogs Out, came a bit later, but nonetheless, let's see, Who Let the Dogs Out won a Grammy actually in 2000 for Best Dance Recording. So congrats to the Baja Men and Who Let the Dogs Out for their resurgence here 20 years, 19 years after the release of Who Let the Dogs Out. All right, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day. Tigers a 17.5-point favorite as they head to Starkville to take on the Bulldogs for a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. We'll knock out a break, come back, we'll talk to a former Bulldog, Matt Wyatt, former Mississippi State quarterback, hosts his own radio show statewide in Mississippi. He'll give us some perspective from the other side of the field. Next, Locked On LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, where we always try to get great guests and perspective from the other side of matchups. And that's why we bring in Matt Wyatt, former Mississippi State quarterback, does a statewide radio show, The Matt Wyatt Show. Highly recommend you check him out on his YouTube channel as well. Does great film study there. And he knows a lot, obviously, about Mississippi State football, having played and now covered the team. And we started by talking about what the vibe's been there this week at State after a couple of really disappointing losses to Auburn and Tennessee.
You know, I guess if you really bow down into it and try to nail it, it's pretty obvious that State has played really poorly the last two times out. I mean, really at no point this year did they look like a steamroller by any stretch, but early on when we started the season with a 100% healthy Tommy Stevens, offense was throwing it around some, even a little better than they had looked at times last year, and there was some hope there. You knew you were going to have to bring the defense along, and you knew it was going to be a juggling act dealing with these 10 players that are working on suspensions where all 10 have to miss 8 games apiece. You know, that's a big deal to have to juggle. So there's all that. It's just that the last two times out, it was just really awful. You know, that Auburn thing got out of hand so fast early on, and you just really got embarrassed. And then, frankly, probably equally as embarrassing to go and kind of lay an egg offensively at Tennessee, a game that really – you came in and you feel like you should win. So that was a deal where your fan base coming out of that Tennessee game, a portion of them already very vocal, just upset, mad, angry, want to fire everybody, we suck, all this stuff. And then, boom, let's play LSU at 2:30 on CBS for the whole country to watch. So that's why you got that reaction. And, you know, now later in the week, time heals everything. People are a little more settled down and kind of looking forward to getting on campus and seeing what they can do. But I would tell you still at this point in the week, you don't actually find a whole lot of State fans that feel like they have much of a chance in a game. That's just the truth of it.
Does Garrett Schrader, the freshman quarterback, make them better offensively?
Yeah, I think he does, Matt, because, you know, again, the most negative would go away. It couldn't be worse. But I would say that what I've seen is when he's gone into these games, which it seems like every week, you know, Tommy would start, he'd get banged up again or hurt something else, come out, Schrader goes in, and then they go on a drive or two. And the reason I think probably is happening is, one, he has a little bit of this gutsy, tough guy it factor, and the guys like him. You know, and that's not just throwing it out there. He really does have whatever kind of it is. He has that going for him. Okay, and then on top of that, when he's gone in the game, they simplify things a little bit. The reads, sideline to sideline, how much you're doing at the line of scrimmage, a lot of that stuff backs off, and so there's less thinking, less reading going on, just calling a play and running it. And so I think everybody else in the offense has been able to line up, just fire off the ball and go run a play. And so in that way, with a team that desperately needs confidence and physicality, when he goes in the game, it kind of injects that because they simplify. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is that good enough to move the ball against LSU this weekend?
Yeah, they'll move it some. Yeah, they will. They'll move it some this weekend. And you know, really one thing that you'll see, and LSU fans will see, there's a kid you're going to play against a lot over the next few years. You're going to see Schrader can really run the ball. Your coaching staff here says that they've timed in low 4.5, high 4.4 type speed for a guy who's 6'4", 225. He really can run, and that's been, you know, a huge spark to the offense when he's gone in the game is his ability to run the ball. So I think from a defensive game plan standpoint, it's a lot different to game plan against him knowing he's going to start than if you knew Tommy Stevens was going to start. And so for that reason, I think, you know, Kylan Hill may get an opportunity or two. And look, he's a freshman quarterback who he's really confident. He's pulling the trigger. He's not holding on to the football. He turns it loose. So they'll have some times where they move it up and down the field a little bit. Yeah.
And Matt Wyatt's with us. He's on Twitter at Radio Wyatt. Learn more about his podcast, his radio show, MattWyattMedia.com. You really should subscribe to his YouTube channel as well. It does great work there, doing X and Owen and breaking down quarterback play and offense. So if you don't subscribe, you should. If you flip the field, though, the real bugaboo, and it's tough to say when you only score 10 points at Tennessee, but the real bugaboo for State this year has been the defense. So what, Matt, what do they do? Like, realistically, what does that staff do this week to try to slow down LSU when nobody's been able to?
Yeah, it's simply a matter of looking for an opportunity to rake the ball out, punch the ball out, create some turnovers that LSU hasn't committed in these other games. And I you know, they don't pay me $1 million to coach defense, I guess, for a reason. But I look at it also, Matt, and say that, look, if you go like typical MO, the stuff you've been on tape, you know, blitzing that nickel safety off the hash on third down to try to go hit the quarterback and jumping into some man and stuff. If you do those things against Joe Burrow in this offense, you're going to give up home runs, okay? So if you give a lot of cushion, still, you may give up a home run or two every now and then pass. They may just get you. But if you play with a lot of cushion and you back people off and just say, look, we're going to have to give you some underneath throws. And if you take it, we're going to hope we can come up here and hit you, get two guys there and one guy rake the ball out. At least we make LSU run a lot of plays, okay? Make them execute a lot of plays. And, you know, give ourselves more chance to knock the ball out. Because if we don't, look, if you jump into man-to-man enough, or you go, you know, that quarter-quarter half coverage where you got one corner down, they're just going to hit you over your head. It's a matter of fact. So it's a tough thing for a defensive coordinator when you got to think all about this coverage, how are you going to do it to try to give yourself a chance, knowing that your defensive front is probably not going to get there and hit him. If Florida doesn't get there and hit him, chances of you doing it are slim. So it's a tough week for Bob Shoup, I believe.
Matt, I want to ask a big picture question here in a second, but for Joe Burrow, as much as you watch quarterbacks, what has been the key to his, from your vantage point, his development last year to this year?
You know, there's this intangible thing, Matt, and I know it's not what people want to hear. This is part of it, though. This intangible thing of getting into that senior year. I can just tell you, you know, 20 years ago when I went through it, but there's this really palpable thing of you go from being a sophomore, junior, and there's all these older guys on the field, to you walk out there as a senior and you look around and go, man, I'm the oldest guy out here. You know, there's the game just really does slow down for the old guy who's been through it. So that's one thing. But I just see them, you know, he is in the center of a great situation, this combination of all the things you want, and that is the right plan. Okay, the plan that Bray and Ensminger have put together for this group of players fits them perfectly. On top of, Burrow understands it perfectly. He has such a great grasp of everything he's doing pre-snap and in protection. He's just got everything on a string, so to speak. And then that third element you add in there, they've got great players around him, these receivers around him. It's this perfect mix of everything. So not only is his confidence sky high, the reason it's sky high is because he knows where he's going with the ball. He's not guessing. So that leads to timing. The number one thing, Matt, in successful pass games, college and pro, It's timing. Timing is everything. It's does the ball come out on time? And holding the football, hesitating at all in a half second to a second gets you beat. But if you're a half second early or on time all the time, you're going to have a lot of success. His mental ability and confidence right now are putting the ball out on time. That's why nobody's hitting him, and that's why they're hitting those big plays in the pass game. Catch the ball with room to run.
He's on Twitter at Radio Wyatt. You can give him a follow. He's Matt Wyatt. Let me throw out a scenario for you, Matt. And I've posed this hypothetical to people all throughout the week. LSU coming off an emotional win, maybe looking ahead to Auburn. Mississippi State coming off a really disappointing loss, probably going to play an inspired game. Slight chance of rain. It's decreased, but I guess it could. There could be some showers in Starkville. Does all of that maybe conspire to make this game closer than we think it might be, and in part why the line's 18 when a lot of people thought it maybe should have been even higher?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it's all that those things make it possible. Matt, I was looking at that a minute ago. Well, we got 7 games throughout the SEC, and only 2 of them are like less than a 3-touchdown type of game. But I'm looking, so LSU is not as big a favorite on the road at State as, say, Auburn is at Arkansas, things like that. So I think that there's a sense of that. State is desperate. They're desperate. They are. They've had a desperate week of practice. And desperate teams in their home stadium, it's one of those, hey, you never know type of things, right? And LSU knows who they are and what they are. They're coming into this game. I don't think that they in any way will have looked over this. I was talking to, you know, your guy Jacob Hester this week, and he was saying, you know, they remember what it was like the last time they went to Starkville 2 years ago. They got run out of there. They're not overlooking this, but LSU doesn't have to go in there and prove anything. They just have to go and take care of business, and they're playing a desperate team. Last year and this year, in two different desperate-type situations, Joe Moorhead had them ready to play. Man, it was last year. They were hosting Auburn. Auburn was ranked in the top 10. State was unranked. The previous two games, State had lost back-to-back SEC games to Kentucky and Florida. Both games they felt like they should have won. You know, and they're desperate. You can't lose 3 SEC games in a row. They're hosting a top 10 team, and they ran them out of there. Had 350 yards rushing and beat Auburn. This year, they were kind of desperate hosting Kentucky, not a great team, but it was after they had lost to Kansas State. And they looked like a pretty good football team and beat Kentucky, you know, fairly handily. So I think all those factors are why LSU coming in anyway isn't as big a favorite as you might think they should be.
Is last thing for you, Matt, is Joe Moorhead, is he safe?
Boy, million-dollar question. I mean, I think he is, yeah, in reality, just because, you know, a year and a half in, to any coaching experiment, and your 8 wins last year, you're 3-3 now. I know it's not pretty, but I think right now he's safe, sure. I think he'd really have to go off the tracks, you know, not win another game, bunch of blowouts, you know, some type of, you know, team upheaval, you know, they want him out, that kind of thing. But right now, guys like him, you know, coaching staff, they're together. I think he's safe right now, yeah.
If you want to hear our whole chat with Matt Wyatt or any of our interviews from After Further Review, you can go to 1045ESPN.com on demand After Further Review, and you'll catch it right there. It is the Locked On LSU podcast. We'll knock out a quick break. Ryan Clark talks LSU Mississippi State, and I'll give you a pick next. Locked On LSU, your team every day. Wrapping up a Friday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. I'll give you a pick here in just a quick second. First, though, a couple of thoughts from former LSU and NFL safety Ryan Clark, who not only gave some thoughts on Mississippi State, but also gave his take on why Florida had success offensively against LSU's defense.
One, I think we talked about it when I mentioned Trevon Grimes to you last week. I mentioned Pitts. Like, those guys, just for me being around, are very good players. And very good players will make plays when given the opportunity. I think also, too, that Dave Aranda was looking at their production and some of the things that they'd done throughout the season, and I thought that he felt like he didn't need to be very exotic. We were very basic very early on in the game. You kind of saw the game switch, and this is a guy I don't know how many people pay attention to, but Marcel Brooks. Marcel Brooks is a guy that they were working at safety because he has elite speed. for a guy, and he's not a huge human, but he's a flat out rusher. He's a hustle guy. He, you know, and those are usually hustle guy and relentless effort are usually terms we link to people without elite talent, but he also has that. And you saw with some twists and tackle instunts, him getting pressure without bringing more than four. And then when it got down to crunch time, they were able to put pressure on the quarterback. But you look at this game, and you and I were texting during, if Trask doesn't make a mistake in the end zone, you don't know what happens. Now, they were never going to stop us. They didn't have a shot. You know, we talked about the fact that we could score. They were never going to stop us. But this also goes to my point when I'm always speaking to you about November 9th. Losing 60-50 is still losing. You know, and so there are going to be some things. I believe when we get to that point and when we get into these games that are against other elite offenses, other elite teams, we're going to have to sell out. We're going to have to say, hey, Christian Fulton, Derek Stingley, you guys have to cover on the outside. Kerry Vincent Jr., you have to stand up. Now, what you can be excited about in this game is I thought Grant played really well. I thought Grant in that game, even without the huge plays, was what it's supposed to look like. I thought it was good that Stingley got beat some. You know, and me and you would talk every week. I'd be like, there's a way. You know, and I'd be like, and I'm never going to tell people
right
the way, but there's a way he can have trouble. He's a human. He's 18, right? But the one thing he will do, if you give him a chance to catch a ball, he's going to catch it. He's going to be more athletic. His hands, his ball awareness is going to be better than your wide receiver. And that's what he did. He came up and made a big play. DBs are going to give up catches. And so I think in the end, we found a way to stop him enough and make enough plays, but Trask wasn't shook. You know, I was asked, I did something for Max Starks, who played with me in Pittsburgh and works for SEC Network. He asked me, what does Trask have to do to win or to play well in Death Valley? I said, it's going to be loud, period. I said, what he has to do is, if he has a bad play, come back and play the next. And he did that. I thought he was poised. The moment didn't look too big for him.
Yeah.
I think other than Kalavon Chasson, we didn't create much pressure on our own. You had the tackle instunt, or you had the blitz by Michael Divinity where he wraps around the outside. He's able to get to him. So I think that's still an issue for us. And I think we've learned that no matter how talented the defensive backs, no matter how talented your defensive skill players are, if you give these dudes time, they will find open receivers. You know, when you get into the SEC and it's Florida and it's Georgia and it's Alabama and it's LSU, they're all 4 and 5 stars because they ain't trying to recruit you if you ain't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're going to have to find a way to get pressure on teams. We're going to have to find a way to turn the ball over, because if not, when you get against these elite teams, you're going to have trouble. Lucky for us, Mississippi State ain't.
Give me 30 seconds on Mississippi State.
Mississippi State is struggling. Mississippi State's in a situation to where they're trying to figure out they hired the right coach, you know, and I'm sure he's trying to figure out it's just better to go take a Rutgers job, because when you get down here and you're recruiting in Starkville, one, you're recruiting against all of these other places and other teams that are better, right, and places that are more attractive to play. Even Tuscaloosa is more attractive because of the guy that's the head coach.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult to, one, get those types of talents. And when you get them, you have to coach them in the right ways. I think they struggle at quarterback. Now, this dude's a good player. He's a backup.
The freshman, yeah. Trader.
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's just not ready now. So I think we have an advantage there. I believe we score points on them. We saw Auburn and Bo Nix just annihilate them offensively. Move the ball up and down the field. We are a much better offense than they are. And so we're going to score a ton of points. And I don't think we give up the type of points we did to Florida to this team.
Fortunate to spend a good half hour every Thursday with Ryan Clark. If you want to hear that entire conversation, he went in detail about Joe Burrow, about NFL primetime, co-hosting that with Chris Berman, filling in for Tom Jackson. A great conversation. That's at 1045ESPN.com, on demand, after further review, and you'll see the Ryan Clark interview with October 17th date. Let me get out of here. I'll give you a pick. I feel like this year I've been undervaluing LSU's offense and still overvaluing the defense. For example, last week I picked the game 34-20. So LSU's offense ended up scoring 42. The defense gave up 28. So I was short a touchdown on offense and didn't give gave a touchdown credit to LSU's defense. I've been thinking a 42-17 type ball game here, which leads me to believe it's if I'm a touchdown off on both of those, it would probably be 49-24, which is where I'm leaning. I look at the odds makers, that line creeping down to 17.5 makes me think you might be looking at like a, you know, a 42-24 type ball game. That would seem to make a lot of sense. But again, I've undervalued the LSU offense, even though they're going on the road, all the emotional letdown of, you know, after Florida, before Auburn. Mississippi State probably plays up after the embarrassment of the past couple of weeks, but still, 49-24 seems about right. I won't be surprised if it ends up 42-24, but 49-24 is what I'll throw out there just to test my theory that I'm still undervaluing the offense too much, which it's hard to do. They're the best offense in college football right now. But nonetheless, Tigers, Bulldogs, we'll be recapping it Monday here for the Locked on LSU podcast. We'll see you then. Locked on LSU, your team every day.